You have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. We're going to read about 12 or 14 verses there this morning. If you're following along in the Bible that's there in the chair, you should find that on page 48. The words are very different when I hear them. But the underlying issue is very much the same. It kind of sounds something like this, and if this is you, it's not personal. It's just the refrain that I have heard over 20-some years of ministry. I know that God forgives me. I know that, fill in the blank, my husband, my wife, my children, my parents, my co-workers, my employee, my neighbor has forgiven me. But I just can't seem, what's the rest of it? To forgive myself. It sounds like that sometimes. Sometimes it's like I know that they're gone. It's been 5 years or 7 years. But I just can't seem to say goodbye. I just can't seem to let them go. Sometimes it's like I know that they passed away 10 years ago, 12 years ago. I just can't take the ring off. Because taking the ring off seems so final. Sometimes it's I know the divorce happened 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago. But I just can't have another relationship. I just can't trust anyone anymore. Sometimes it's on the good side. Sometimes it's like, boy, you just don't know how wonderful that church was. You just don't know how wonderful that job was. You just don't know how fantastic that home was. But it's been gone for 10 years, and I just can't seem to connect again in a new church or a new job or a new home. It's not always on the bad side. Sometimes it's on the good side. You see, the issue that we're talking with and the issue that we're looking at this morning, the issue that we're going to address, is learning how to leave the past in the past. It's a problem for the children of Israel when they come out of Egypt and move toward the promised land. But listen to me, it's not a problem that's just a couple thousand years old. It's a problem that we address in my office week after week, day after day, counseling session after counseling session, couple after couple, individual after individual. There's something that has happened in the past, some life-defining moment. Sometimes it's a wonderful event, sometimes it's a great thing, and sometimes it is a terrible thing. Sometimes it is an awful, painful thing that has happened. But because of that event, people get stuck. And they're never able to progress, and they're never able to go forward, they're never able to get beyond that. And just like the children of Israel there in the wilderness, they wander in circles and they go over and over and over again the same territory. Never able to go forward, never able to release, never able to let it go, and simply move to the future that God has for them. Somewhere along the way, they just give up. They stop and they go, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. It's too painful. It hurts too much. I'm just going to stop and I'm just going to stay here. And I'm just going to live here. Or sometimes die here in this spot. Michael found it for me this week, but I chose not to put it up on the screen. One of the ugly secrets about summiting Everest, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's lots of trash along the way. And was anybody aware of that? That as the people try and climb Mount Everest, they have air bottles and they have food packs and they have all these different things that they take with them. But as they go, they just drop them along the way, and the climb is littered with all different kinds of things. Actually, now there's an endeavor to go up and bring some of the trash back down to some of the base camps and kind of take it off the side of the mountain. But the real ugly truth is not all the litter that's along the path. You know what the ugliest truth is? It's exactly right. It's the bodies of people who have tried to summit Everest and who died in the endeavor. And they literally leave the bodies there because they're what is in what's called the death zone. And to stay there too long costs you your life. And so rather than bring them down, if you want to look, you can search the internet. There's lots and lots of pictures out there. Bodies along the path. And that's what's being addressed here in Exodus chapter 12. Turn with me, if you will, there. I want to read the passage for you. Because the lesson that we want to learn this morning from the children of Israel is leave the past in the past. Now, remember where we have been going, where we started last week. The passage that we're looking at is a passage that talks about the children of Israel leaving Egypt, being delivered by God and going to the promised land. And we're talking about the land in between. On one side we have Egypt, which was the land of slavery, and it was the land of less. It was a land of judgment. It was a land of sin. It was a land of difficulty. It was a land of struggle. And then on the other side of the desert, far off in the distance, there is the promised land. God says, I'm going to give you a land that is filled with milk and honey. I'm going to give you homes that you did not build and fields that you did not plant and harvest that you simply have to go and bring in. And you're going to drink wine from vineyards that you didn't plant. And it's going to be a land of my blessing. It's going to be a land of plenty. And it's going to be a land of my presence in your life. But to get from Egypt to the promised land, they had to cover that land in between. And Paul tells us in Corinthians that the land in between was a real struggle for them, because as they begin that journey, they made some bad decisions. And one of the decisions that they made was to bring with them all the baggage of the past. I don't know that they intentionally said, we want to do that, but they never released it and let it go. So they were trying to make their way through the desert. And every single time there was a problem, you know what happened? Their heart went back to the past, because they were attached to that rather than be attached to the future that God had for them. And in Exodus chapter 12, God is trying to break the bond of the past. God's trying to break that hold on their heart. And he does that with this incident of them leaving Egypt the first time and the issue of the Passover. So read with me, beginning in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt. This is after all the plagues have taken place. This is after Moses has been into Pharaoh over and 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 over again and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh has refused to do that. And now it's time for the last judgment. It's time for the judgment of the destroyer, the angel of death that God is going to release in Egypt to slay the firstborn in every household. But before he does that, he gives them protection for the children of Israel. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month. The first month of your year. He's going to totally reorient their calendar. He's like, okay, hit the stop button. January 1 is now today. He's going to reorient their calendar. This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. And if any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You're to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Now, just hit the pause button here for a moment. Bring these little lambs, year-old lambs, into your home. Now, what are the kids going to do with the year-old lambs? Oh, they're going to love them. And they're going to play with them. And they're going to adopt them. And they're going to be sweet little lambs. And they're going to be our pets. Right? Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Okay, parents, just tell me how much fun that's going to be. Right? What's God doing? He's reminding them of the price that's paid for freedom. Sin. And the payment for sin always has a price. Then they're to take some of the blood and they're to put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. The sides and the top. What are we making? We're making a cross. It's a foreshadowing of what is to come. That same night, they're to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with the bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you're to eat it. Now look at verse 11. With your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. It's a very clear indication that we're getting ready to take a journey. Who tells you, put on your overcoat, grab your staff, put on your shoes, and let's eat the meal? No. Take your shoes off. Make yourself at home. And we'll have a meal. God says, and eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, and here's where the name comes from, the name of that great celebration of Israel, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Why will I pass over you? Because of the blood of the sacrificial lamb. That's why some of the songs that we sing in some of the old hymns sing about the blood of the lamb. It's a reminder of the Passover. It's a reminder of the sacrifice that was made. It was a reminder of God's merciful compassion as He passed over. Because when He saw the blood on the door jambs of the sacrificial lamb, the innocent sacrifice, He passed over and did not bring judgment. This is a day you're to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days, you're to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. God is saying to them, listen, there is a celebration that you and your family commemorate every single year forever to remind you of my compassion in your life. As we think about this land in between and letting go of some things and moving forward into the future, there's a couple of things that I want to say to you this morning. I know as I begin to recite that list for you of things that it is impossible or seemingly impossible to let go of, this some of you went immediately back in your mind and in your heart to that event in your life. You're the one who says, I know that that individual has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. You're the one who says, I know that God has forgiven me, but I can't seem to get beyond it. You're the one who says, I remember when, and you look back, and that event, whether it is good or bad, has become the defining moment of your life. And you are stuck there. It lives with you, and it walks with you, and it influences your decisions every single day. But here's what I want to say to you this morning. You will never get God's best in your life as long as you live in the past. If you allow that to own you, and if you allow that to sink its claws into your heart, and you don't release it, and you don't let it go, and you don't put it under the blood of the sacrificial lamb that died to pay the price for your sin and for others' sin, it will define you. And you will never receive God's best in your life. So let's talk about how we let go of the pain of the past, or how we let go of those things that hold us back and that keep us stuck right here in the land in between. Because you see, that's what happened for the children of Israel. They got out of Egypt and they started the journey toward the promised land. But they never reached it. Because every single time there was a problem, I went back and I counted them this past week, 10 or 12 times that are recorded for us in Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Whenever there was a major event in their life, you know what they said? They said, well, I'll give it to you. How's this? And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, is that why you've taken us out here to die in the wilderness? Moses, did you bring us out here in the wilderness to die because there weren't any graves back there? It was better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die here in the wilderness. Would to God that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots and where we ate bread to the full. You've brought us out here in the wilderness to kill us all with hunger, haven't you, Moses? And the people there thirsted for water, and they murmured against Moses and said, where is it that you brought us up here out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Then Numbers 11, we remember the fish which we ate in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Now, mind you that they don't remember. Seems to have come out of their brain that they were to sacrifice the firstborn male and kill him. They don't remember the whips. They don't remember the burden. They don't remember the struggle. They don't remember the beating. They don't remember any of those things. Our memory can be very selective. See, that's what happens to us. We get stuck there in the middle ground. We don't go forward. Three things that we can do. Three things that you can do to come out of the land between and go toward the promised land. Number one, leave the past behind physically. Now, I say that because it's very important. One of the things that happens, we're going to talk about leaving the past behind physically, emotionally, and spiritually. But one of the reasons that the physical, I think, is so important is that the emotion and the spirit many times follows the body. When we begin to act it out, when we begin to physically do something, it tends to release and break that deadlock that we are in. You see, we need to find a physical way to express our leaving things behind. That's what God is doing here with the children of Israel over there in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 11. What does he say to them? This is how you're to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, with your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. He's giving them a physical way to embrace the leaving that they have. Because he understands, God knows the way that we're put together, that when we begin to express it physically, the emotion and the spirit follows that. He's giving them a way to embrace it because that kind of unlocks the door, and it's the key that helps us begin to leave all these other things behind. And so here's what I'm going to say to you this morning. If you find yourself stuck, then you need to find a physical way to unlock the emotions and to unlock the door that has you stuck there in the land between. Maybe, if you've never been, you need to go to the cemetery and sit there at the graveside and say goodbye. Maybe you need to take some of those pictures off the wall, or the ring off your hand, and say, it's done. It's over. I'm finished. Maybe you need to empty the closets out and give away some of the clothes. Maybe you need to sit down and physically write out a confession. Dear Chris, I know that I offended you. I know that I hurt you. And I'm writing to ask your forgiveness for my sin. Put a name on it. Call it what it is. Embrace your limitation. Say, this is my problem. This is where I am stuck. Pack away the reminders. Put away the trophies. Whatever it is you need to do to physically leave that behind. We built a couple of altars here this morning on the platform, one on this side and one on the other. And at the end of the service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to take their connection card and to write out a confession or to write out a release, to write out a get-out-of-jail-free card. I don't know what you want to call it. And then I'm going to ask you and give you the opportunity, if you need to leave something in the past, to come up and to physically drop that here in the altar and then take a moment to kneel and leave it here. And you say, well, Pastor, can't I do that here at my seat? Sure you can. But there is something about the physical act that unlocks the door and that starts you on that journey, that helps you begin the issue of processing leaving the past behind. I know that God has forgiven me, but I just can't seem to forgive myself. We'll do this. Write out, I forgive myself for, and put it on there. I'll take them and I'll shred them afterwards. They'll be private. Don't worry. And forgive yourself. Just release yourself. Listen to me. If God can forgive you, then you can forgive you. I know it's hard, but you need to start that process of releasing yourself from the past. Not just because it's something that you need to do in order to go forward, but to embrace the forgiveness and the grace of God and the mercy and compassion of God in your life so that you don't end up stuck there in the land between. Second thing that you need to do is you leave the past behind physically. You also need to leave the past behind emotionally. It's interesting here. God says to them, look at chapter 12 and verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and to Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. You need to find a way to process your emotions and go forward without holding on to that burden. And one of the things that will help you begin that process of working through the emotions is to physically find a way of expressing that. And then God said to them, celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. It's something that you are to celebrate. It's going to so redefine you. It's going to so give you a fresh start that it's going to be the first day of your calendar year. We're going to totally reorient your calendar year, God said, based on the day that I delivered you from Egypt. And you're going to celebrate that. You're going to remember that. We're going to give you a lasting celebration that you instill in the hearts of your children so that they will never forget what I have done for them. You see, here's the issue. Sometimes our bodies leave, but our heart doesn't. That's what happened with the children of Israel. Their bodies left Egypt. They physically walked out into the desert. But their heart never did. Because every single time there was a problem, every single time there was an issue, every single time there was a struggle, every single time, what did they do? Their hearts went back to Egypt. As a matter of fact, if you go and you read in the book of Acts, Stephen the martyr's great message, he says that. He says to them, as he's preaching there in Jerusalem that day, the people's bodies left, but their hearts were still in Egypt. I talk to people all the time, and they'll say to me, well, you know, Pastor, I would really love to be a part of Reva, and I would really love to connect here, and I'd really love to join here. But you know what? I'm just so attached to the church that I came from. And they begin to tell me about a wonderful church, which there are wonderful churches all over. There are great places all over that God is at work. This certainly isn't the only place. And they say, you know, I remember when I was there and what I did there. And just nothing can ever compare to that. And the reality is that in some instances that is true. You know, we're not that place and that place is not this place. But you have to leave that behind in order to embrace what God has for you. You see, if you're tightly holding on to something in the past, your hand is not open to receive what God has for you in the present. And if you're so attached to something in the past and your heart is just bonded there, you have to release. And sometimes that bond is good. Sometimes it's a good place that you need to leave behind. Sometimes it's the successes that weigh us down and not just the burdens, not just the problems. What you have to do is you have to process the emotions and you have to get them out. So let me give you a very quick process that will help you do that. Number one, you need to make an intentional decision that I am going to leave the past behind and go into the future. Colossians chapter 1 says this. It says, set your hearts and set your minds on things above. Actually, it's Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Set your hearts and set your minds on things above. So number one, make a decision that says, I am going to leave the past behind. It doesn't matter if it is good. It doesn't matter if it is bad. But if it has a grip on you and if it holds you back and keeps you from going where God wants you to go, it hinders you and limits your spiritual growth and development. The second thing you need to do is you need to process the past verbally with someone. It may be your spouse, and that is sufficient. It may not be. It may not be your best friend. Sometimes that will help you. I would recommend to you that if you are stuck and you are hung up on one of those things, good, bad, whatever it is, that it may very well be that you need to spend some time with a professional counselor who can help you process those emotions verbally. Now, the only caveat that I would give you to that is if it is an issue of forgiveness and you need to be seeking forgiveness from someone that you have offended or someone that has offended you, then you need to do what Matthew chapter 18 says. You need to go to your brother. It's always, I guess amusing is the right word could be, or ironic. Take your pick. Someone will come to me and they'll go, you know, well, Pastor, someone in the church did this terrible thing to me, and I just, you know, I'm angry and I'm upset, and I, you know, and then they unload on me, and I go, okay, well, here's step number one. Have you talked to them about it? Well, no. Okay, well, here's the novel thought. Do what Matthew chapter 18 says and go and speak with your brother. 99 times out of 100, you know what happens? They work it out. And they come back, they're really excited. They're like, Pastor, you just won't imagine what happened. I went to them and it was a misunderstanding. Or I went to them and they were so sorry that they had hurt me. And we talked and we prayed and it's okay now. I'm like, oh, you know, here's an amazing thing. When you do what the Bible tells you to do, it works. Now, not in every instance. Sometimes they'll come back and they'll go, boy, they just whacked me again. Okay, then you're dealing with a toxic person, and maybe you might want to avoid that one a little bit. Yeah. Find a way to process it verbally, either with a professional who can help you get through that, or with the individual that you need to deal with. Number three, paint a picture of the future in your mind and in your heart. Here's what I know. The past, the hurt, the pain, the struggle, it's in high definition in our brain. You know what I mean by that? It's there in every vivid detail. And if I remember correctly, Bill, there are some times when there's a big emotional event that happens in our life where the chemistry actually changes the structure of our brain and burns pathways into our brain, right? Yeah, emotions do that. They burn new pathways in our brain. He's the smartest guy on brain psychology that I know, and brain physiology. He's very smart. That's why I always check with him. It burns pathways in our brain. It's in high definition. It's there. And the future that God has for us, it's way out there. And it's kind of fuzzy. And it's undefined. And we read the promises, but we haven't experienced them yet. And so which of the two are we going to latch on to? Which of the two are we going to hold on to? Which of the two are going to have the most influence in our mind and heart? The one that is closest to us, the one that's in high definition, the one that's there in every single vivid detail. That's why you have to make a decision that says, I'm going to turn my back on the past. I'm going to turn that channel off. I'm not going to relive the details. I'm not going to peel the onion over and over and over again. I'm not going to go back and relive the events of that painful experience, or even go back and relive the events of that wonderful experience in my life, because that captures my heart. It captures my mind. It captures my emotions, and it keeps me from going into the future. I'm going to leave the past behind, and I'm going to intentionally make a decision that says, that's in the past, and I'm going forward, and I'm going to start the process of walking into the future. I'm going to find someone to process that with, and I'm going to picture in my mind what God has for me that's way out there in the future, and I'm going to begin to put details in my mind and in my heart of what God's future and what God's plan for me is. And then I'm going to pursue it with everything that I have. Philippians chapter 3, take a look at what the Scripture says to us there. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul begins to help us see how we process all of that work in our mind and all of that work in our heart. Paul says, chapter 3 and verse 12, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind and pressing on toward what God has set out before me. Paul says in chapter 3 and verse 1 of the book of Colossians, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. Set your hearts on what God has for you, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. What Paul is saying to us is, listen, forget the past. Process it emotionally. Deal with it however you need to deal with it. Find someone to talk with. Work its way out. Forget it. Leave it behind you. And paint the picture of what God has for you in the future. You know, when the children of Israel left Egypt, all they had was the promise of God. All they had was God's promise that said, I have something better for you. I went back and looked. I couldn't find the notes this past week of the last business meeting, one of the last business meetings that we had in the other building, where we made the decision to sell that building and move down. Was anybody here that night? Yeah, there weren't that many. There were about 89, and there's like three of them here. The vote was 90 to 1, or 89 to 1. The interesting part about leaving the other building was when we decided to sell that one, we hadn't purchased this property down here yet. We were looking at it, and we were hoping maybe it would come through, but we had an offer for the other property. And we said, you know what? The children of Israel left Egypt without knowing exactly where they're going, and that's what we're going to do too. And at that day, when we left, we could not picture this at all. I didn't. At all. But we knew that God had something better for us. Sometimes you have to let go of what you have in order to get something better. You have to just leave it behind. And it's not always a bad thing that you're leaving behind. What we had there was good. It just wasn't God's best. He had something more. And sometimes you have to leave the other behind and go forward. And it's not easy. I remember sitting across the street watching them tear the other building down. And just the images that went through my mind. My daughters came to know Christ there. They were baptized in that baptistry. Jim White, I remember sitting with you on a pile of sheetrock when we were building the other building. Sitting there, and we're in the sanctuary, and you looked at me and you said, you know, Dennis, one day you're going to be standing down front waiting for me to come down, and I've got three daughters, and they're going to walk down that aisle, and we're going to do weddings here in this building. That day never came, did it? Because God had something better for us. Sometimes you have to let go of something in order to receive something better from God. You have to let go of it physically, because that unlocks the rest. You have to let go of it emotionally, and you have to let go of it spiritually. Take care of them, the lamb, until the 14th day of the month, when all of the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they are to eat the lambs. You see, the sacrifice of the lamb was kind of a foreshadowing of what God was going to do through the gift of His Son on the cross. That's why the message from John the Baptist was, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The one whose blood is going to be shed and applied in our hearts and in our lives. See, here's what the Scripture says. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the hardest things that we have to do is learn to receive the forgiveness and the grace of God when we have legitimately failed. It's not so hard when we've tripped and made a mistake. It's not so hard when we have had an error in judgment and we miscalculated. It's not so hard when we thought that we were right, but in fact our hearts and the situation or circumstances led us astray. The hard part comes is when we intentionally made the decision, knowing all along that we were doing the wrong thing, then to come back later and receive the grace of God in our life. That's the most difficult part. And that's where many people are stuck in their spiritual life. And so this morning what I want to do is I want to give you the opportunity to leave the past behind. I want to give you the opportunity to say, you know what, God, I know that I have sinned. I know that there is something in my life that I have done that is wrong. Or maybe you're on the other side and you go, I know that there's something in the past that was good then, but is now destroying me. And it's keeping me from becoming everything that you want me to be. There's a true story of one of the Aboriginal tribes in Africa and the way that they hunt. And this is a pretty good illustration that we're going to close with this morning. Kind of lets us know where we are. Here's what they do. There's this particular monkey that they like. It's a little delicacy for them. And what they do is they get a gourd and they hollow it out and they put a little small hole in it, about so big. And then they go out and they find this monkey's favorite little piece of fruit. These monkeys just go crazy for this fruit. They love this fruit. It's like a delicacy for the monkeys. And they take a piece of that fruit and they drop it down inside this hollow gourd, and it's got this little tiny hole. And then they tie the gourd off to a tree. And then the monkey comes by, he smells the fruit, and he takes his hand and he works his hand into this hole that's made just a little bit bigger than his hand. So it's really, really hard for him to get in. And he gets his hand inside and he gets his hand in there. And you know what he does? He grabs the fruit. And he tries to pull it out. But the hole is not big enough, because now that he has the fruit in his hand and his hand is tightly clenched on it, he can't get his hand out. And so then the hunter comes by with his stick, and what does he do? He whacks him in the head. Now, all the monkey's got to do to get away is what? Let go! If you'll just let go, he can get away. And you and I, we're just like that monkey. Sorry. Don't mean to be offensive. We've got to hold on something. Maybe it's something that someone has done to you. Maybe it's something that you have done to someone else. Maybe it's something that was really, really good in the past. Maybe it was one of life's circumstances that just knocked you over. And you're holding on to it. And you know it's killing you. And you know God wants you to go forward. It's time to let it go. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want you to kind of bring the lights for me, if you would, Heather Ann, bring those down a little bit. Take your connection card, and as the band comes back up on the platform, I want you to write out what it is you need to surrender and let go. And then as we sing, you're going to have the opportunity to come and leave it here at the altar. Kneel here for a moment and pray. And then leave it here and go back. So that you don't end up like the children of Israel, stuck in the desert. And why has the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be sacrifices? Was it not better for us to return to Egypt? And Moses, why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It's no place of seeds. There's no figs. There's no vines. There's no pomegranates. And there's no water to drink. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of this Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread. There's no water. And our soul detests this manna that He's given us. Maybe your body's here and your heart's in the past. Why don't we bring the two of them together? Take the opportunity, write out what you need to leave behind, and then come. Leave it at the altar this morning. I want to thank you for being here this morning. It's my hope and prayer that as you leave the past behind. Don't drag it with you. The temptation this week is going to be to relive it one more time. But when the accuser brings it back to your mind, simply go back to this point, this place in your heart and mind where you left it behind. And then remember the words of this little song that we're singing. All I need is you. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.